Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Mitchell. Ah,
you ready, girl?
Jimmy Cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Breaking
we
up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in from. You're listening to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shannon. It is Pink Thursday, so sit back and relax, because we have an interesting show for you this evening. Get your pens and pads out. You know, this show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, a nonprofit organization that has skilled advisors and consultants to help you reach your goal in education, training, workshops, and especially building up and inspiring our youth out there. You know, we have to seek to discover. Each of us must seek to discover the particular thing that will characterize our lives, an attitude of intense, undaunting seriousness toward each fleeting moment can open up a whole new life for us. And this evening, we have someone coming on with us. It's Erica Cohen, a crazy black woman. And on our second segment, we'll have Hans Johnson, president of the EAPD. It is voting time. We have 12 days to go out here. And if you and our vote has to say to the people, if you are not, you must release your seat. Keep that in mind. If they are not for us, the people, they must release their seats out there. I'm going to play a little bit of this before we bring on Miss Erica Cohen with us. This is going to be exciting. Very, very exciting. And this is what she's about.
Thank you.
right. We have to be every woman. And this lady, Miss Erica Cohen, she was born in England and raised in Canada. She got to move to New York and participated in many, many plays there. Life Goes On, Soul Food, Brian Song. She's an actress, a writer, and a producer. You know, she noticed, and getting frustrated, that the roles for black women were shrinking, and she started to write. Her first piece, The Crazy Black Woman. Then she created Sisters in Production. And out of that came An Evening with the Sisters, and next, the unsung heroes. I can't talk about her and tell you everything about her because we'd have to have a couple of hours here. But I keyed into her statement, and that statement was, you know, the pandemic put a hold on things, but not mentally. She said, to Sisters Inc., the production company, is to retrieve and expose as many hidden stories of the past as possible. We have my friend, Ms. Erica Cohen, on with us this evening. Erica, welcome in. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm great, actually. I really am. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have to put this out in the front because once you get going, I don't want to forget to give you our appreciation and our gratitude to you for coming on and sharing and caring with us this evening. And why it was so important, because you have a series of The Crazy Black Woman out there. And I heard on YouTube, which everyone can go and check it out, and you made a statement of the importance of voting and why we all must vote. And I said, Erica, you have to come on and share that with us because we're into this 12th day now, and we have to make these changes out here. So kind of like give me some information. How did this get started? What was your thought pattern there? Where did this bring up from, this series that I listened to?
Well, The Crazy Black Woman was originally a one-woman show about me and how hard it was to struggle to become an actress here or to start working or to continue working, you know? And I wrote this one-woman show, and I kind of put it away for a little while. And then I submitted it for the NAACP 10-Minute Festival, and it got picked. And so I performed it in front of a bunch of people, and it went over really well. And then I performed it again, and then I didn't have nowhere else to go with it. It was like the character is sort of, by the end of that particular character, it sort of run its course. So I needed something else to really spark her return. And it wasn't until the, before the last administration when he was running, and you know who I mean.
Yes.
I wasn't a citizen. I was not a citizen at the time. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I am going to have to become a citizen. Because I got to vote, because this, you know, I want to vote. And I had tried to become a citizen before that, but there were so many people, I guess, who felt the same way I did, you know, being an immigrant, you know, and seeing the unfairness that was about to happen if he won the election. I really wanted to participate, and I couldn't, but I eventually got my citizenship, and I voted for the very first time in Atlanta when I was there, and a woman talked me through it. It was a wonderful woman at a library, a black woman, lovely, and she just talked me through it, how to do this, how to do that, because it's very different than what we do in Canada. And I thought to myself, you know, this is really important, especially for the election. I said, we need to make sure we vote, or we're going to end up being back in like Handmaid's Tale. You know what I mean? So that's what I've done. And that's the first one. I showed you the second one I did on voting. And the first one was like, we're all in Handmaid's Tales and I'm wearing the white and the whole outfit. And, and I basically, yeah. And I said, you know, we better vote. We could be doing this, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. And so when this one came up, I thought, I mean, I never thought in a million years. I really didn't believe that the Supreme Court would do what they did. I never thought they would. And I thought, you know what, we got to vote because this is ridiculous. I mean, they're taking away women's rights and they're just, it's just getting too far, you know. And I just wanted to put something out there about voting because it's so important. There's a lot of people who take it, who don't take it seriously. And it's like, it is serious because if you vote, then your voice is heard. And we all found out when we were all home in 2020 and everybody sat home and then they voted, what a difference it made. And it did make a difference, especially when it was counting, being counted. And then you realize or recognize how powerful that vote is because it comes down to the numbers. You know what I mean? So I felt pretty inspired to do – this is my first one since the actual pandemic. We never did any – I didn't do any for 2 years. So it was really great to do another one and to inspire people to vote, you know, and they're both new citizens as well. And I have to give them credit. That's Daniel and Paco.
Okay.
And they're both now new citizens. That was what we all work together, and this is one of the reasons why we wanted to do this is because we love this country, and we like being a part of it, but we really thought that, you know, it was important to let people know that it's important to vote, you know, and to get that out there.
You have to do it.
Inspired me to write that. Plus all the other stuff that's going on. You know, there's the character always talks about stuff. Anything that she finds interesting that stays in the news long enough so that I know it can hold.
right.
So she discusses a lot of things, that, you know, like the Supreme Court and the war in Ukraine and, you know, Omicron and all these things. And, you know, it was just my little take.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I know how talented you are, but also, you know, understanding, like you made the statement, you wanted to retrieve and expose as many hidden stories as, you know, of the past, you know, these stories that don't get told with all the hidden treasures we have out here. And I know that you dig deep into that, you know, you Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman to run for president. It's a lot of hidden treasures out here. A lot of hidden treasures. So I know
so
that
many.
You're researching and getting them down. Yes, yes, they are. And when I saw that, after I finished really sitting up and laughing, you're good. You're real good. And you just had me mesmerized. I said, and I heard the last segment, we have to vote. I said, oh, no, she has to come on because it's that time. It is that time. And behind you for the second segment, we'll have the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats. That's my club.
Mm.
He'll be on. And he usually has a lot of information. So I don't know what your time will be like. I don't know, you know, if you can stay on. You might have a question if you have time. If not, I'll just send you the complete link. And he usually gives us update. I mean, that's the largest Democratic club in California. And they do not play, okay? And it was a long time before, you know, because I'm from a political family, so I've been running from politics all my life. But when I met them, he said, oh, you should come and join the club. I said, no, I don't like politicians because y'all be lying to the people. And he says, no, we don't work that way. I says, well, I don't think you can duck your head quick enough, because if I'm with you, I'm going to tell the truth. And if you're not telling the truth, I'm going to be shooting them 38s at you. You have to know that head movement. So they laughed about it. It took me about 2 years before I actually went in. And once I started on the 2019, I was on the ballot in 2019 running for a district rep. And it was an experience, you know, because it gave me an opportunity to talk with people and to learn the real front end of it. Now what I do, I support from the back end because I know how the front end goes, right? So I can get in there and whoever I'm going to support, I know how to move it from the back. But it's an excellent experience, and I tell everyone that they must get involved, you know, find an organization.
Yeah, that's what Shirley Chisholm would say. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's,
definitely
you know,
what
you because when I wrote that show included, I wanted to write about women that were so inspirational, but nobody knew about them. That was the premise of that show. And because even Shirley Chisholm, I have to say, I didn't know who she was. But mind you, you know, I came here from, you know, I just didn't know who she was. I didn't know who she was. I saw her on a stamp, and I bought the book of stamps, and I kept the book, and I looked at the back of it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do something on her. And that was how I picked her. And that was many years ago. So I kept the backing, and then I started doing research. And then somebody else gave me another character. It was Anarka Westcott, who was a slave who was experimented on by the father of gynecology. The third one was Ellen Kraft. And she was a slave who was so light-skinned, she passes herself off as a white man and takes her husband, and he pretends that he's her slave. And they get all the way to Liverpool, England.
Wow.
Now that is an amazing story. I mean, like, I found these three stories, and I was like, oh, goodness. And so I wrote three one-woman shows about these women, you know, and I kind of tried to make it as dramatic as possible, and it was like I kind of set it up, I felt. Anyway, a friend of mine, I decided I wanted to perform them, and I wanted to get a couple of girls to play the other roles. And I hired a director, Zadia Ife, and what she did was that she combined all of the scripts, and then she added music in between. And, honey, we had a play, and that, let me tell you about a play, and I really wish we could have taken that further. Because that was touring material. It was really good. It was an hour, but it was an intense hour. I mean, it was intense. It was intense. We didn't play. We didn't play, and then there was music in between. It was absolute. I have a copy of it. I'll have to send it to you. But it was amazing, well received, so well received, and we got a great review. And because it was about interesting people that you don't know anything about. And what was interesting, especially with regards to Anarka Westcott, I think people didn't believe that this was actually done. Now, I'm not sure, but I had people doubt me. And I'm like, what do you think, I lied?
Right.
And I had a couple of people research. And then call me and say, oh, my God, it did happen. And I was like, yeah, it did. Yeah. They didn't think that black women felt, hello, because all of the surgeries were done without any anesthesia.
Okay. Right.
Right?
Well, right. I needed to, when you speak of Shirley Chisholm, the organization that I'm a part of is National Congress of Black Women, and that is her organization. She started that in 1986, but it is a spinoff from the National Council. Okay, so you got those deep people there. I mean, she came in with Dorothy Hyatt. And then, but the big mamas, Dorothy Bethune, you know, you got a lot of stuff there. And I'm glad that you mentioned it. And Shirley Chisholm said, you know, if they don't have a seat for you at the table, take your own chair. Okay, she did not pledge. So that's what attracted me to those ladies. It's a lot of hidden treasures, as a matter of fact. The president of the Los Angeles chapter is the first African-American scientist. She was with Chevron. So I'll have to introduce you to her. She has a story, too. Okay? And she was with us. She was not cleaning up the lab. She was testing that jet fuel. She was Chevron. She was with them for over 20 years, but she was the first one. And outscored everyone. You know how they gave you tests and stuff, and they couldn't figure out how her test score was as high as it was. But I'll introduce you. Very interesting. But when you said Shirley Chisholm, you brought a smile to my face right now, because I know about Shirley Chisholm. And it's a lot of stories out there that we don't know about, that, and it, a lot of hidden treasures. And when we sit down and spend some time, my family were rabble rousers too. We won't talk about them over there. They still might be looking for them, okay, but they were something else. That's all I have to say about that, you know. And when it runs in the bloodline, it runs in the bloodline. So, you know, they fix the successes where they never forget, because what runs in that blood, but as we mature, we still have that, but we understand that. So now it's up to us to tell those stories, okay? So they are no longer hidden. So what really excited me was the statement that you said. You wanted Sister Inc., your production company, is to retrieve and expose as many hidden stories of the past as possible. And being able to take that on the stage, I love theater. I also do one woman show. I do a one woman show called Power Surge. And we might have been doing this at the same time with NAACP when they have that. And that's usually around December. But we'll speak on it. So I know how hard you work. I know how creative you are, but when I saw that, I said, you know what? And I heard it, we must vote, because you were really expressing it. And please, persons, go to YouTube and check out The Crazy Black Woman, okay? The Crazy Black Woman.
Yeah, look up Erica Cohen. They got to look up Erica Cohen, and I have a half smile in black and white picture.
Spell your Erica. That's E-R-I-K-A, right?
Yeah.
Erica Cohen, yes. Yes, please check Erica out. She has a lot of information for you. I'm glad, Erica, that you took out time to come on, because we like to think on Thursday, okay? To just have them sit down and think about it and listen to it, because we are the storytellers here. All right,
yeah.
The young adults, they are lacking that. They don't have those stories. They don't have them, and it's up to us as these storytellers. I would say, as the pioneers of change, we were born as change agents, but then we became change makers. Okay, so it's up for us to, you know, carry this on, and to educate and empower as much as we can, because they're very, very confused out here. We're working on a situation. I will be contacting you. We'll talk about it. And we're getting ready to mentor out here. So I'm asking you ahead of time. I'm put your name on the top of this sheet, and I will give you more information about it, because it is much, much needed, and it has to be done. As I say, as you say, to retrieve and expose as many hidden stories of the past, because it's the strength and the information that comes from the past that can keep you moving forward. That's where the strength lies. It doesn't lie getting it on a Monday and doing it on a Friday. That's not how you build it. It comes deep, 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 deep. And since we are the storytellers, we are here, okay? So what are you here for? So I'm getting ready to open that up. I've always dealt with the youth. Those are my babies, okay? And they are seeking and they're hurting. And it's up to us and everybody to open up that village gate again and get busy. So I will be calling on you. But, Erica, it has been a pleasure for you to come on and share with us this evening. I just had to have you, and I'm asking you to come back. You know, I know you got that pencil and pad out there, and that vision is going, so you can come back anytime you wish to let us know what's happening. We'll shout out for you. We'll support you. It's all about lighting that candle, because when we light the candle for others, our path becomes brighter. So we need to shine out here. Do whatever we have to do and bring it from within. So on that, I'm going to ask you, because I'm going to go into my second segment. I'm going to ask you, what are the few words that you can leave with us this evening until you return? Just a thought, just something for us to think about.
Keep creating, keep telling our stories, you know, and keep going to look at our stories. You know, I mean, we have a lot of things that are on TV sometimes and people don't look at them. Like, you got to go see Till. I mean, like, it's, yes, we should know that story, but it's one of our stories. We should go and look at it. We should really support us and support our stories.
And if you pay attention to them, there, you know, it's always a that's why I love music, but I'm old school over here. And I say all music, I love all genres of music, but there's a message to the music. There's a message.
Yeah.
And since music is healing, it's like one of my top priorities, so I speak a lot through the music. I speak a lot through the music and Chatty Catty, too. But Erica Cohen, the crazy black woman, I love you. We are so glad that you came on and joined us this evening. And as Erica Cohen said, keep being creative, okay? Just keep being creative. This is a lady that is talented, from actress to writer to producer, and she's putting it out there. So whenever you hear her name or whenever you see her name, as she say, keep being creative and keep supporting. It's needed. We know how crazy it is, but it's changing. And we'll talk about that too. You know it's changing. There's stuff is flipping around, okay? And I won't get into it over the air. But when I see you in person, we'll talk about this. So on that note, please have a good evening. Persons, Erica Cohen, the crazy black woman. Have a wonderful evening, Erica. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you want to stay on, Mr. Johnson joins us, because to grab him is a miracle within itself, because he is on the go, on the go, on the go, on the go. So if you can hang on.
Send him the video.
I will. I might have sent it to him. I think I did. I sent it to him. Yes, I did. I told him to look at it because, we're the ones, okay? We're the ones. If you get in there and don't do what you say you're going to do, they're the ones that make sure that you release that seat. That's all I can tell you. So please hang on if you can. If not, I'll send it to you.
I'll hang.
A little music. Listeners, Erica Cohen, the crazy black woman, Hans Johnson, to come on with us. Shortly, please enjoy.
truth, the truth, and no more lies. We want freedom, justice, and equality.
That's right. You got to give the people what they want. You know, and this gentleman that's on the line with us this evening, Mr. Hans Johnson, the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats in my club, they know how to give you the information. So we're going to make sure that if you do not do what you're supposed to do for those people and you're not for the people, you must release your seat. Okay, Hans Johnson, welcome in. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us this evening.
Absolutely, Linda. It's great to be back with you, and it's great to be here just 12 days out from a general election where we have a chance to stand up for democracy once again and make sure that we fight for and win for democracy and freedom, because so much is at stake in this election, not just locally and federally, but here statewide in California. And I'm to be able to join you again tonight to talk about the choices that Californians and particularly Angelenos face on our ballot. Only about 1 in 20 people has already mailed in their ballot. So we know that most people, the lion's share, have to still cast that ballot and mail it back in. So let's get to it.
Yes, yes, definitely. We have to do that. You know, I'm screaming it and shouting it and reminding them, you know, your vote is your voice. You have to stand up and speak up. If you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything. So that's not happening here. And we must make a change, you know, keeping up with the initiatives and all the confusion. You know, they're written crazy to confuse you. We keep encouraging persons to research, follow their own mind, move with their own gut, pay attention, because there's a lot of trickery out here on those initiatives.
Yes, there
is. And you don't want to be tricked in. You don't want to be tricked in.
And the chief trickster is this candidate running for mayor of Los Angeles, spending a gazillion dollars to try to distort and smear the good record of Representative Karen Bass and trying to outmaneuver his long record of supporting anti-abortion candidates and Republicans. And we have to make sure that Angelenos see the light and reject Mr. 1%. Rick Caruso needs to be rejected handily. And we need to make history in choosing the better candidate for mayor, the vastly superior candidate, well-prepared Karen Bass for mayor of Los Angeles, a chance to make history with the first woman mayor and someone who has a long record of solving problems, being accountable to the people, and building coalitions to unite people, not divide them and to seize power.
You're right about that, you know, and see what's funny to me, and you know I don't like to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. Why you switch over so quick, okay? Well, you don't jump on the other side of the sidewalk. And I look at those commercials, and I see who the persons you're speaking with, and I see what you're projecting out there. But I don't see a whole lot. I don't see no black people standing up there on the side of you, okay? So that's the first thing I look for because I'm black, okay? Mm-mm. Sorry.
Yeah,
think about it.
The amount of money that he's throwing around. You know, what's disturbing is the way that this Rick Caruso has gone outside of the campaign finance system in our city. You know, he's spending 10 to 1 the amount of funds that Karen Bass is spending. And Karen Bass accepted the matching fund system. That is a key premise of public integrity in city elections. It's meant to ensure full disclosure. It's meant to to ensure some degree of parity amongst candidates. The matching fund system is a very important, hard-won safeguard for real local democracy. And what did he go and do? He rejected the matching funds system. He rejected the deal by which Angelenos have long competed for city office, fully disclosing amounts of funds, abiding by limits on how much they can spend, and receiving matching funds that help level the playing field and provide funding based on how many actual Angelenos donate to your campaign. And he's completely rejected that. And I think that is such a sign of contempt for democracy. And the fact that he has done that now as a warning sign should tell Angelenos, this is trouble. This is trouble with a capital T, which rhymes with Trump. And we have another example here of someone coming out a plutocrat with untold millions trying to buy their way into electoral and political power. We need to reject that. We certainly should have learned the lesson over the last 5-6 years of nightmare dealing with Donald Trump and his minions, and we have to reject it now on our ballots and elect Karen Bass, the vastly better candidate.
Well, I know she came up under EAPE endorsement. I don't move out there with her side by side, but I do my role over here. But I'm listening to you, and I hope everyone else is listening to you. That's why it was so imperative that you come and give us this education, give us this information, and let us know, you know. And I just know of the trickery that's out there, and it is against democracy, and it's about time for it to stop, okay? Vidi, it's about time for it to stop. So people, follow your gut. Do your research. When you go check that box, make sure that you're checking that box for someone that's going to be there for you. I wanted to say something. How is Dr. Rivas, our education, the school board? Dr.
Yeah.
Rivas is out there. That is that. Please check that box twice, because she definitely needs to be on there. Beautiful.
That's so great that you elevate. I'm so glad you elevated Dr. Rivas' campaign for school board, Linda, because this contest in District 2 for LAUSD school board is pivotal. This is a very important election because it's an open seat after 16 years of Monica Garcia outsourcing our public dollars into the hands of private school operators who unfortunately have continued to saturate our East Side communities and to put money into the hands of private operators who can discriminate against students and who do discriminate against mm-hmm. students with special needs and with disabilities. We have a chance mm-hmm. to elect a school board member who is going to reinvest in community schools and make our schools the well-funded laboratories of democracy and learning that we have needed them to be, and to really properly invest in classrooms. Dr. Rivas, 3 years on the staff of Jackie Goldberg, that one of her first hires when we brought Jackie back to the board in 2019. Dr. Mm-hmm. Rivas with a PhD in education coming up through LAUSD, getting her bachelor's at Berkeley and then her PhD at Teachers College Columbia, has that exceptional training. And she's the mother of an LAUSD student. You know, that shouldn't be such a radical concept to have a parent of an LAUSD student on the board. But it's been more than 15 years since that has been the case. So that's representation that she would bring also, based on her many years of leadership as a parent, advocating for her son, who's now thriving in seventh grade in Highland Park in LAUSD schools. And it's just a watershed to have her on the brink of winning this pivotal seat on the board, to be able to join her mentor, Jackie Goldberg, and two other great champions for public education, Scott Schmerelson and Dr.
Yes.
George McKenna,
yes.
on the school
yes.
board, all of whom have endorsed her. So this is the change that we are really hopeful to bring. And this is why, you know, building on the biggest turnout of any election in U.S. history just 2 years ago in 2020, building on the victory that we earned in the recall election brought by right-wingers last year, vindicating Governor Newsom. Now we have this election where we can make some serious change in our school board to invest in public schools and create accountability for charter schools at long last, and to bring Karen Bass as mayor of Los Angeles.
That's one reason why I think it's so exciting to cast a ballot in this election, and why we are putting out the call to voters now, because we need to see an uptick in voting. And I think people are holding onto their ballot, but this weekend I think we're going to see another large surge in completing ballots and mailing them in, and we're hoping by next weekend we will be at the 20+% mark in terms of people already having voted.
They need to be at the 20%. Now, let me ask you, Hans, you know, like the you can mail them in, or you can also drop that envelope at the precinct. There's boxes there for that, isn't it? I mean, it say if they miss the deadline date and forget to get it in, they can still take it and seal it and drop it at the at a voting precinct. Am I correct?
Well, the deadline is November 8th. You have to have mailed it by the 8th or taken it into a polling place by the 8th or a ballot drop box. Ballot drop boxes are all around, and those are safe ways of dropping off your ballot and making it count. But I want to just assure people that the postage is prepaid on that envelope, so you can mail in your ballot for free anytime up until Tuesday the 8th. And if you are dead set to put it into the hands of an election worker, yes, you can walk it into a vote center that we have now opened here throughout Los Angeles. Even more of them are going to open next weekend. Or you can drop it off at one of the ballot official boxes here throughout L.A. County. So four ways of voting. You can mail it in, you can drop it in a drop box, you can walk it in, or you can actually go vote in person at a vote center. But in any case, the deadline, the last day to vote, so we are telling people vote before 8 p.m. on November 8th, and your vote will count. I'm hoping that we get at least a 60% turnout in this election. Who knows, but that we might go even higher than that. But with so much at stake, people do need to make their voice heard, and I hope they look at www.eapd.la/endorsements for the ballot guide of the East Area Progressive Democrats, a very handy way to help vote a complete ballot this general election.
Yes, it is. I'm agreeing with you on that. And before we close out, you know, you always come on and we, you know, we stretch out there. We're like in Canada, United Kingdom, South Korea. We're in Japan. So a lot of people are coming on. We're crossing the globe here. Okay, sharing and caring. And tell us a little bit about the club. I know it's the largest club in Southern California. Talk to us about the EAPD a minute, please.
Well, East Area Progressive Democrats, now 8 years old, has grown so steadily in our time, in part because we feed the appetite of Angelenos for an independent progressive Democratic club that is aligned with the community and not with insiders or the staff of elected officials, which unfortunately is the case with too many entities in party politics. We really do believe in listening and including people from all backgrounds and helping to make a difference by exerting accountability over elected officials and engaging people on issues and in issue campaigns and in educating our communities about the stakes for legislation and for campaigns for office. You know, just last month, we celebrated a really significant victory for our club on a fight that we have been involved in for 8 years since the formation of the club to shut a polluting dump up at the north end of Figueroa Street. The Shoal Canyon dump has been open for 61 years. And after an eight-year fight that really began when Glendale, the city of Glendale, which owns and operates the dump adjacent to the city of Los Angeles and adjacent to Pasadena, announced that it was going to expand the dump, our club members fought back and we educated the community about the perils and the pollution inflicted by this dump, seeping into groundwater, causing all manner of air pollution that we breathe in on a day-in, day-out basis in the surrounding communities. We organized to stop that effort to expand the dump. That took 5 years. Glendale officially took that off the table in 2019. And then 3 years later, we finally won a vote by the Glendale City Council to close that dump by 2025. A big victory because this has been a blight and a contamination hotspot for more than six decades. A big deal when you think about what it takes to force an institution to change. We did it in part by having to change the city council composition in Glendale. We started off really with zero friends on that council, and now after lots of work and coalition building in all of the surrounding communities, Pasadena, Glendale, Eagle Rock, Highland Park in Los Angeles, and beyond, we brought critical attention to bear on Glendale's administration of that toxic hotspot. We helped recruit candidates in Glendale to run for city council. And you know what? We changed the makeup of that city council. We now have three allies on that city council out of the five members. And that council, in part because of those three leaders determined to shut the dump, voted unanimously on September the 13th to shut the dump by 2025. Just a signal that community organizing and grassroots electoral power can shape changes that benefit the public interest and the quality of life here in our Los Angeles communities. But the other thing that we did, the other reason why the club is so important, and I think why it has grown, is that it's not just about electing Democrats. It's about electing Democrats who have a commitment and have a priority on doing the public interest and on serving the community. And we have had to work very hard to bring people into the Democratic Party structure, to bring accountability to bear on wrongdoing by Democrats. And that even extends into this latest scandal of three city council members and the head of the Central Labor Council conspiring, caught on tape and released for the world to listen to their horrible, racist, homophobic, bigoted commentary, trying to manipulate the redistricting process for their own aggrandizement. We've had to call out that kind of misconduct and that kind of antagonism toward the public interest and what the community needs in its elected officials. And I'm very proud that we have been at the forefront of insisting on the resignations of all of those officials. And I'm also very proud that I personally was named as a problem on that recording. One of those tapes includes a name check of me by name, saying that I am a problem in the face of their efforts to control the Democratic Party and who gets represented. So I think it's a signal that we're making a difference and that the right people know that we stand in their way of trying to put things over on the community instead of serve the community. We've got more work to do. Kevin DeLeon is not resigning. He is now brazenly defying the will of the people that he get out. Everyone from the community leaders here, the Democratic Party, city council colleagues, Governor Newsom, and President Biden have all called on him to go. Even the people who first employed him in politics, the California Teachers Association, has called on him to have some grace and to show some dignity and leave. But he has refused to do that. So it's looking like the community is going to have to rise up and mount a well-organized recall effort to boot him out of office. It's sad that it's come to this, but it's looking like he is forcing the hand of our communities to have to do that. I think it's very, very revealing if anyone has heard that tape to know the kind of bigotry that people will spew in private that they profess to be four square and 100% against in public settings. But that hypocrisy, that two-faced status of elected leaders has been revealed. And now, having broken the trust of Angelenos, we need to make sure that we get effective, honest representation, and we're willing to do the work to make that change if they refuse to show the grace to go.
I know. Well, you said you was a problem. No, you're trouble. Like John Lewis said, if you're going to be trouble, be big trouble with a big T. So you're a problem with a big T. And in Texas, we don't call you a problem. We call it a problem. Okay? That's a little bit past a problem. Okay? So you fall in the category as being that problem. Okay? And I am so glad to be associated and affiliated with you. Because, you know, it has to be done. Like I said, if you're not going to do for the people what you say, you release that seat. Okay, release that. Because it's really all about the people, but it just shows you how they say in the South, the cream will rise to the top. In that buttermilk, it blew it dead off the top. And it was there, the backroom meetings, and how people really, really, truly feel. And I hate it happened. I hate it showed that way, but I'm glad it happened because the truth must be revealed. Okay, if times have changed, we've been you know, people say we're change agents. No, but you outgrow change agent and become a change maker. Now that takes a little bit more oomph. Okay, you can't just sit back and say it. You got to be it. So I'm with you, and they call my president a problem. No, he's a problem. Okay, that passes that problem. And so I saw an art. You had wrote a blog about that, and I was laughing. I said, and you felt real good about it. I said, now they single out Hans. Well, they single out the right one. Okay, and like I tell my friend, you know, it doesn't really matter, even though I fall up under the Democratic shield. It doesn't really matter about the party as long as everybody's for the people. Because, see, you can learn from either side. And then I step in the middle because I have to get information and stuff, you know. And the ones that don't do what they're supposed to do, no matter what side they're on, they have to release those seats, period. So, Hans Johnson, I want to get Dr. Rivas on next week if I could. I don't know. Liliana contacted me. I would love to have her come and talk to these parents. You know, it is so important for her to have that seat. What do you think we could do about that?
Well, I will do my best to get her on for next Thursday. That would be November the 3rd. That would be the two-year anniversary of our surge in voting that helped carry the former defeated president out of the White House and helped carry in Kamala Harris and Joe Biden into the White House, a tremendous victory 2 years ago on November 3rd. So let's celebrate that by getting Dr. Rivas herself here on Waking Up and Telling the Truth with Linda.
Yes.
I'll do my best to make that happen.
And then I have Liliana's number. I don't know. You go that way. But, yeah, just keep me posted because I would love her to come and educate us and empower and inspire us and let us know the real deal here because it's that time. People are still confused. Those initiatives are written confusing, but we're going to bring you some information, listeners, that you can think about. It's about thinking here, T-H-I-N-K. Pay attention. Stay woke. Stay aware. Be observant. But more so, we want you to be kind out there. Hans Johnson, we love you. And I'm not going to hold you. You are a busy, busy person. You have
I will say, Linda, I will say before I go, I do just want to say two initiatives really do stand out. Voting yes on Prop 1 to secure abortion rights here in California and reproductive health care access. Very important to vote yes on Prop 1. If people are looking for something to be excited about and opening up that ballot that they got in the mail and casting their ballot, let it be Prop 1 and giving a yes vote to that to enshrine the right to reproductive health care in the Constitution of California. And another one of great importance, because I'll tell you, you know, I wasn't just called a problem by the now resigned head of the Central Labor Council. I was called a problem in a press conference last week by the sheriff of Los Angeles County in honor of my new position as a commissioner on the Civilian Oversight Commission. And I think he's a little scared of the light that I shine on wrongdoing and misconduct by this sheriff and some of his underlings. But we need to take advantage of what we've endured here in Los Angeles County for the last 4 years and make sure that we approve a check of accountability on any future sheriff who might want to go down that same road of brazen wrongdoing as this sheriff has, and that we approve County Measure A, which gives the supervisors the option for misconduct by a future sheriff in five distinct areas, the opportunity to remove any wrongdoing sheriff up the road. If there's any lesson we've learned from this reign of error, it's that we need to have some check built into the system, and Measure A, voting yes on A, helps create that check for the future.
Okay. Yes on A. And yes on one. I have my yeses and my noes, and I suggested that everyone, when they, you know, decide, have a separate piece of paper so you don't get confused when it's time to go, or when you're doing it, you kind of like understand what you're checking off, but you want to check off that box. Now, you said you are appointed commissioner, Hans. What is that? Commissioner of what?
Yes, yes. At the end of September, I was named one of the 9 members of the County Civilian Oversight Commission. So I am in charge with the other 8 members of this commission for providing civilian oversight for the sheriff's department. It's it's a weighty charge, and it's a distinct honor to be in that appointed role. And I am very glad that we are in a position to exert that oversight now, and possibly to be in a position to make a change at the top of the sheriff's department. It's a huge operation, more than 10,000 employees, and it's a very weighty station, and it needs a well-trained leader. It needs a leader who is not afraid to be held accountable and to answer to elected officials and to the public. I think we've seen over the last 4 years the dangers of having someone who flouts that oversight, and now we are on the brink of perhaps electing a sheriff who can be answerable and has a more comfortable relationship with accountability and answering to civilian oversight. So I think Los Angeles voters are on the brink of turning the page on these last 4 years, and I am honored to be in this commission role to help be part of the solution for implementing best practices and bringing this sheriff's department under closer scrutiny and solving problems like deputy gangs and other vexing issues that have bedeviled Angelenos for decades.
Well, congratulations. They got the right one in the seat. That's all I can say. And if you need me to come in there with my clipboard and my attaché, just call me on in, okay? I'll have on some rhinestone tennis shoes, but you know I'll come and support you, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda. I look forward to some of those public hearings up the road, and I welcome your input and that of all other Angelenos on how we can exert more oversight and maybe solve some long-standing problems with the sheriff's department.
Okay. Well, you got it. You got it. You know, when you're born with that sword, they teach you how to sling it. And make sure that when you're grabbing, Hans, you don't cut yourself. So you got me. That's all I can say. You started this long time ago. Okay, you started this. So we might as well keep it up. Hans Johnson, the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats, the largest Democratic club in California that take care of business, hold you accountable, and if you don't do what you say you're going to do, must release that seat. Sons, we love you. Please have a wonderful evening, and thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. And get Dr. Rebus for next week. I'm going to keep everything close. We need her, okay?
I will. Thank you, Linda, and thanks for listening.
Have a wonderful one, and congratulations again.
About this evening on Think Thursday, we had Erica Cohen, the crazy black woman, come on, the actress, the playwright, the producer, and share with us the importance of voting. And then we had the pleasure of having Mr. Hans Johnson, the president of the EAPD, share with us, give us some information, give us some direction here. We have everything here for the community. That's why we care and share. And what he said about that ballot, you have four ways to get it in. You can mail it in. You can drop it off. You can walk it in. drop it in a drop box, and you can go in person and vote. But whichever method you take, make sure you do that, okay? Your vote is your voice, and we must pay attention out here. And listening and working with inclusion and accountability and dealing with different issues and education is very important. All of those things matter. All of those things matter. And not just for your one little bucket, but for everybody's bucket out there. Quit being a change agent and become a change maker. And the only way you're going to make that change is stand up and let your voice be heard. You must vote out there. He gave us a lot of insight, you know, on the this and the person, which made a lot of sense to me. You have to decide on your own. But I'm going to tell you, follow your gut and pay attention, okay? Open up your eyes, clean those lens open out there. Now, tomorrow we're going to come on with Tiffany with an eye, tell you what we found out, okay? You know, it's a lot of stuff going on out here, so be very, very sure to tune in with us. It's been a pleasure. I don't know how many pieces of paper you have and how much writing you were doing over there for Think Thursday, but I have about 5 or 6. That was some information. Think, T-H-I-N-K. Think about it.
Thank you.
And there is a way. Okay, there is a way. And I'm going to share with you a quote from my mentor, Satsaku Ikeda. It is natural for human beings to look forward. Our eyes naturally look ahead. In this sense, we are made for moving toward a goal. And I'm going to put my goal in there, to never give up, to win in my life, to win in society, and to win by producing a great democracy. Have a great evening. This is Think Thursday. Think about it. Thank you.
You know you contain the power.
the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.